tonight and he's loving on you. How many are so grateful that every time we come, he shows up? Come on now. And when he shows up, he shows off. I'm watching the cord down there, one accord. It's always fun to watch this thing. I don't wrap myself around anymore. Now I just keep pulling mics off, but, you know, it's a little better. How many of you know we're coming to a season of God's glory? Literally, the Bible says that the glory of God will fill the whole earth. The knowledge of the glory of God will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And how many of you also understand that glory is two-sided? Glory is not always a positive thing for people. Because glory has to do with rain. And it's the rain of God's presence. But whatever seed you have in the ground will come up in the rain. Come on now. So the same glory that brings blessing also, in a sense, brings judgment. Come on. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 3. I'm going to have fun tonight. I'll always have fun. If you don't enjoy God, you won't enjoy heaven. You know? But don't worry about it. If you don't enjoy God, you might not make it into heaven. So, you know. But Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. Well, let's do verse 10. Sound like Brother Copeland. Actually, he goes backwards. I go forward. He does more verses, I do less. I just don't read as well as he does. But Isaiah 3, verse 10 says, "Say to the righteous, they'll go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. But it says, woe to the wicked, for it will go badly with him, for what he deserves will be done to him." That's a strong thing. I honestly believe this scripture is very prophetic for right now. And I believe there are three categories of people that Scripture talks about. There's the righteous, and almost everyone in here, I know that if you've received Jesus Christ, you've made the righteousness of God in Christ. You've become righteous. And I can say, if you're walking with God and you're walking in that righteousness, it's going to go well with you. I don't care what goes on in the world, it's going to go well with you. But there, in the opposite end, there is the wicked. Now, the wicked are not necessarily sinners. They are sinners, but they're not just sinners. The wicked, the Bible says in Proverbs, they won't even go to sleep at night unless they cause someone to stumble. So literally, the wicked are trying to get people involved in wickedness. It's not just like they're having fun in their own sin. They're trying to get people involved in their wickedness. So you have both sides here. You have the righteous trying to get people involved in the righteous, in their righteousness. You have the wicked trying to get involved in their wickedness. And both are aimed at the sinner. Come on. So this... we're aimed at getting the sinner made righteous through Christ Jesus. They're aimed at getting the sinner not only to be a sinner, but to literally be a purveyor of evil. Come on now, of wickedness on the earth. And literally, that is what the war is right now. It's a war between light and darkness. Didn't take long. And a war between the mic and whatever. So I believe we're in a war right now. Come on. How many of you know we need to fight for our nation? See, I believe God wants to teach the church how to fight. I honestly do. I believe that. And the Bible, when it talks about that how the entrance of this word brings light, it talks about how God will light up your lamp in Psalm 18, verse 28. And it said, then you'll run through a troop and leap over a wall. Come on now. He's going to light you up. See, I believe God wants to light us up. So literally, we have got to learn how to fight. I remember years ago, when Joey was growing up, one of the first things I taught him was how to fight. My wife wasn't real thrilled about it. You know. But I told him, son, I said, son, I want to teach you how to fight, not so that you can fight a lot of times, but so that you don't have to. I told him, I said, I don't ever want you walking away from a fight because you're afraid. I want you walking away from a fight because you're better than that. There's a difference. If it's not worth fighting for, just leave it alone. But I remember teaching him, I must have taught him pretty well. Because only a few days later, we went to the playground. And Joey was about 40 pounds. And he was probably about 6 or 7 at the time. And this bully was there, probably weighed about 140 pounds. And they were playing on some playground equipment. And I saw this kid, this big kid, grab my son by the neck. He's holding him up off the ground in a chokehold. And, of course, my wife looks over at me like, do something. So I did. I looked over at my son and just nodded at him. He just wanted permission. That was the best bloody nose I've ever seen in my life. It was so much fun as a parent. I mean, the crying was wonderful. The bloody nose was wonderful. It was a day to remember. Come on now. And I thought, I'm glad I taught him how to fight. See, the enemy is a bully. There's bullies in this nation. Come on. And bullies will try to intimidate you. I believe we need to learn how to intimidate the intimidator. I think we need to learn how to make fear fear. Come on now. See, I believe it's a new season where the righteous are bold as a lion. That we're not backing away from a fight. You know, we didn't pick it. But guess what? We're not backing away from it. Come on. We want to see our nation taken back in every way possible. We want to see God put back in every area and arena in this nation. Come on now. We want to see him in the schools. We want to see him. We actually want to see him in our government. We want our government to be yielded to the government of God. We literally want to see God take over, because when God is in control, everyone's blessed. Even the sinner is blessed when God is in control. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I believe that the enemy does not want you. He literally wants you to not just be afraid. He wants you to be a purveyor of fear. Fear spreaders. I go to some churches and I wonder, there's more fear in the house than there is faith. I think, man, who's your God? I mean, it's almost like when they're afraid to live down here. How many understand you've been scripted for victory? You've been scripted for victory, and the script is the scripture. So when you face a problem, you need to find the promise. And the promise is a scripture verse. So literally, when you face that, and you verse the devil, it's God versus the devil. Come on now. And there's no contest when it's God versus the devil. Come on now. It's God versus the devil. See, if we would understand that, we would never lose. Jesus didn't fight the devil. Not in a real way. He took the word out. It wasn't a physical thing. He used the authority of God's word to take it. And if we would ever use the authority of God's word, we could take the nation back. Come on now. Because God's already right. See, the most dangerous thing to the enemy is a believer on the move. And to be honest, if you're not on the move, you're not a believer. Because these signs shall follow them that believe. And it's hard to follow a parked car. Come on. See, something began to happen, and like I said, I've been in Ezekiel 37. One of the things it says is, as they begin to prophesy, it says God brought up a great army. I believe the prophetic word, right now it looks like a bunch of dead bones in this nation. It looks like a bunch of dry bones. It looks like everything's falling apart. And God says, yeah, it may look like they're falling apart, but I got this thing planned. Come on now. And my plans are going to prevail. And I'm going to begin to prophesy, and everything's going to come together. And it's not come together as a passive group of people. It's going to come together as a great army. Come on now. It's going to come together as a movement. And literally, it's going to come together to take back what the enemy has stolen. Come on. I believe we're in that season, and I believe there's a stirring in the spirit of people. You know, something happened to me. Let's go to Isaiah 42. It was so funny. I think right before the first of the year, God, I heard in my spirit a war cry. And I knew what it was. I said, God, that's a war cry. But I didn't know there was a verse. It's funny how you read the Bible year in, year out, and I found out something. No matter what you're reading, God doesn't show you everything. He highlights things. So I've read through the Bible at least 120 times in my life, and yet I'm still seeing things for the first time. Why? Because honestly, when you do your Bible's reading, even if you read daily, and you should, because you eat daily, so you should feed yourself daily. If you're reading the Bible, there are going to be times when you read and nothing stands out. There are going to be times when you read and all of a sudden only one thing stands out. How many of you have ever read the Bible and God's emphasizing something and you see it everywhere? Yeah. Everywhere. You think, I never saw that before. And everywhere there's angels, or everywhere there's faith, or everywhere. Yeah. I mean, when he's saying something, it's like a highlighter going off. Come on. It's a now word. That's what it is. It's a rhema thing coming alive to you. In Isaiah 42, verse 13, right after God, I think the day after God spoke that to me and I heard it in my spirit, the war cry, I read Isaiah 42, verse 13, and it says, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he'll raise a war cry, is what it says in New American Standard. I'm not sure what all the other things says. And he will prevail against his enemies. He'll raise a war cry. And I believe there's a war cry right now from heaven. I believe there's like this attention thing. Time to get into attention. This is the most important time in the history of this nation. And to be honest with you, if we do nothing, it won't be long before this nation, you won't ever recognize it again. Because this is a turning point. It's almost like we've been pushed to the brink, and it's time to push back. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I believe it's time that the church has got to speak up. Come on. Not be afraid. Not even be afraid of the consequences of speaking truth because people don't like truth. Come on now. I don't care if people like me. I care if the nation goes to pot. I care if the nation goes to hell. I care if people are lost. And I really don't care. I'm not trying to get along with everyone. I'm not going to get along with the wicked because they hate God. They're going to hate me. And so I'm not even worried about them. I'm after the sinner. I'm after that person who has not yet. Maybe they're living in deception, but they're not living in wickedness. And if I can get their eyes open, they're going to come on my team because God wants them all to be saved. Come on. Does this make sense? See, in Ecclesiastes, they said there's a time. There's a time for love and there's a time for hate. And to be honest, I've always said this, and that's in Ecclesiastes 3:8. But I've always said, there's a time for everything under heaven. And if you don't hate properly, you don't love properly. I've said that before. See, the Bible says if you love God, you'll hate evil. It talks about, honestly, if you love, I remember Oral saying when he would pray for the sick, he would get, people say, why, Evelyn said, why do you sound so angry when you're praying? He said, I am so angry at the devil for binding these people and doing that. He said, it makes me furious. He said, there's almost like a fury, a holy fury on the inside against what the devil's doing to people. Come on. I think that's okay. In fact, I think it's dangerous if we don't have it. If you love an alcoholic, you'll hate the alcohol. If you love a drug addict, you hate the drugs, because you always hate that which destroys that which you love. So, but there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And right now, be honest with you, it's a wartime. It's a wartime. We're not going to have true peace unless we win this war. Come on now. We are not going to have true peace until Satan is crushed underneath our feet. The God of peace is going to soon crush Satan underneath our feet. We're not going to experience true peace unless we go to war. So much division in this nation. And the only one that can pull down the walls is Jesus himself. But to be honest with you, he's not going to do it without us. And I believe there's an awakening coming under the, I'm seeing stirrings everywhere. People are fed up. They're fed up with religion. They're fed up with every type of government. Come on. They're fed up with all the fake stuff going on. They're just so fed up with fake. They're looking for a real God. They're looking for a real cause. They're looking, and honestly, they're fed up with division. They are fed up with, most of the people in this nation hate the fact that we're divided. Come on. That literally people are literally forcing us and dividing us and having us look on outward things instead of inward stuff. That is so dangerous. And God's about ready to change it. And he's going to change it through us. It's just okay. See, I know something's going on. There's something in my spirit that is crying out, enough is enough. You know, I mean, it is time we put our foot down and say, no more, devil. You're not taking back this nation no more. You're not gaining any ground no more. You're not going to play your little perversion game and make it a popular thing in this culture anymore. You're not going to do it. You're not going to call good evil and evil good and not have me stand up and rebuke you. You're not going to do it because, come on. You know? I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. And if I'm biblically correct, the reason I do is because I love people. Not that I hate people. I just hate people that are deceiving people. I hate what it does to people. I hate people that are trying to destroy people. That's what I hate. You know? And some of them will come over to our side if we'll fight. Come on. See, if you're current with God, we'll be prophetic because we'll begin to live out of every word that proceeds out of his mouth. It's not even what God has said. What is he saying? There's a difference between what God has said and what he's saying. What he said is written in an entire book from page to page, and it's all true. It's all the truth. It's all true. But what he's saying is what he's emphasizing at this moment, and it's literally what he's watching over at this moment to perform. Come on now. So what is God saying? And I believe God's saying we better prepare for war. It's not time to back up. See, we have to fight according to prophetic revelation given to us. See, I believe there are promises that God showed us. It's our word. It's our thing. There are things that all of a sudden mean something to us. Come on now. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose history. I don't want to lose it. I'm sorry. In any family, there are good points and bad points, but guess what? They're all important. You learn from the bad. And you celebrate the good. But you don't just destroy it, because once you destroy it, basically you destroy everything that people build on. There's a danger in that. I'm going to fight to see truth restored in this nation. Because truth has fallen in the streets. You know, I don't know about you. I want to see. I want to see truth restored, because it's truth that sets people free. Come on. It's not a feel-good thing. Sometimes truth hurts, so then it heals. How many of you have had people tell you the truth and it stung you? But you know they were telling you the truth. It's one thing when someone tells you something and you know, and maybe it's partial truth. But a partial truth is a lie. But when someone tells you something and it is the truth, you may get offended. But if you're mature, eventually you'll look in the mirror and say, okay, they're right. I'm better than this. They're right. I got to wake up. See, there's a wake-up calling in America right now. It's time for us to wake up and get God back in everything. It's time for us to wake up and understand that we're not smarter than God. And literally, everything that was formed in the principles of God's Word needs to stay. And everything else needs to leave, by the way. Come on now. You know, I always tell people, I say, you don't like this place? Leave. Come on. Because honestly, I love this nation. I don't love everything about it. That's why we're always going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But all you got to do is go on every other nation in the world, and you'll find out that this is still the best place in the whole entire world. And the only reason it is because of God. It's the only reason it is. It's not reason because we're superior people. It's just we got a superior God. And that is why we have a higher lifestyle. And it's not time for the church to take a back seat. It's a time for the church to be seated in heavenly places and take the high seat. Not the low road. Take the high road. Come on now. Be the head, not the tail. When people say, well, you know, there needs to be separation of church and state. Yeah, keep the state out of our business. I believe in separation of church. Just tell the state they can keep out of our business, because we are doing something so much more important than what they're about. Come on. Just the way it is. Well, I think religion should be a private thing. I think religion should be too. I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You ain't going to shut up a believer. You're not going to shut up a believer. You can't, man. They can't help it. You can't help it. You can't help it. And there we go again. You can't help. This is so much fun. This is how I do my exercise, you know. Take it off, you know. This is so much. Where's the end? You got to know the end from the beginning. So much scripture involved. I find scripture on everything. So, but how many of you understand? Yeah, Nehemiah 4:14 says it's time to fight for your nation, fight for your brothers, it's just time to fight for what's right. Come on. I mean, I want to get a Holy Ghost love aggression in. I'm not talking about being mean to people, but I'm also talking about not allowing people to demean you or put you down or put God down, and not just saying it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Give no place to the devil. None. 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 When he tries to come, you give him no place. No. You say, not here, not in this nation. You know, when people come in and they want to bring their ideas in from other places where they have worship other gods, not here. Not here. You want to come here? You come under our covering. Come on. And if they don't like it, stay where you are. So if it was so good from where you came from, you wouldn't be here. So that's just the way it is. And people say, if you tell it like it is, you may offend somebody. If you say anything, you may offend people. Some people get offended. They got offended when I woke up this morning. You know, the devil didn't like it. Who cares? So like I said, God's raised up a Davidic army of worshipers and warriors. And part of that is having that warring spirit where honestly, you know, we're more than conquerors. We got to go out and conquer. We need to take back some stuff. We need to. You need to, basically, some of you, God's going to get your fight back. You know, it's okay to be stirred down. We have to make sure we stay in the spirit. We have to make sure we're always loving and respectful to people. But at the same time, we do not have to bow and cower. Yeah, that's right. Come on, I'll bow to God. Yeah. I bow to God. I bow my knee to God. You know, I respect the flag. I respect everything. Be honest with you, I respect true authority. But I am not backing away in this season. And I don't know about you, but there is like a Holy Ghost anger in me that's saying enough is enough is enough is enough is enough. I don't like things that allow sex traffickers to do what they're doing. I don't like things that allow drug traffickers to come into this nation. I don't like it. And I don't think God likes it. And be honest with you, he doesn't like it when the church permits it. He just doesn't like it. Come on now. Well, I believe that, you know, we just need to live a good, peaceable life. Yeah. But I also believe we need to do the things to make for peace. Come on. You know, see, part of our duty is to execute judgment. So let's go to Psalm 149. We're going to have some fun tonight. I love this stuff. I'm a fighter by nature. My wife said, don't even get him going. Because I am. I don't... There's really not a passive bone in my body. Now, there are a lot of things I just don't care about, so I'm not going to. You know, I pick my fights well. I do. You know, most cases, I really don't care. Being people, even my wife said, where do you want to eat? I honestly don't care until she makes a suggestion. And if I don't like the suggestion, now I care. But as a whole, there are a lot of good choices. That's just one of them. But... You know, there are a lot of things I honestly don't care about. Clothing, or, you know, actually what I was wearing this morning, most of it I still have on today, it was on a dummy at Dillard's. That's how I do my clothes shopping. I go in, and I say, I want to look just like that dummy. I said, these are my sizes. Just make me look like that dummy. So if any of you come and say, you just look like a dummy, I say, yes, thank you. Come on, because I can't stand the clothes shop. I can't stand it. I mean, it's the most painful thing in the world. You know? I mean, it is. It's like, come on, you know? And now I notice I'm real trendy because I wear my jeans and they finally get comfortable because they got holes everywhere. Now people pay big bucks for that. I am so trendy now. Come on now. I said, don't you throw those out. They're finally in style. I finally got some stylish junk. But Psalm 149, yeah, verse 4, says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. So God basically said, when we exercise authority, it gives him freedom to do what he wants to do. There are things that, honestly, God wants to overturn. But it's going to be the church beginning to speak wisdom to the heavenly places. Speaking the word of God, speaking, say, okay, God, this ain't right. I'm going to let you know, God, we know this ain't right. Killing babies ain't right. There are certain things that just aren't right. Exploiting kids for sex is not right. It's just not right. It's just it's wrong on every level. You know, some of the things we see going on, some of them, you know, or maybe preference, but a lot of them are scripture. See, we begin to realize that God's turning the tables. Not only will no weapon formed against us prosper, but every weapon that's formed against us will cause us to prosper, because God will turn around what the enemy meant for evil and work it for good. And I honestly believe that there's things that have gone on in this nation that has been very evil, but God's about ready to turn it and work it for good. That which was devised against us will be used actually to in God's purpose for his purpose to be. I know a lot of the people are beginning to wake up. See, I'm putting a trumpet to my lips, and I'm making a distinct sound. I'm going to fight for the souls of this nation. I'm going to fight for the souls of our kids. I'm basically going to fight to see God brought back into everything. Come on. I'm declaring war on the works of the devil. I just am. I'm just declaring war. I'm just saying, devil, you ain't not welcome here. You're not. Whatever I bind will be bound. Whatever I loose will be loosed. I'm not backing away. I set my face like flint. And I really don't care if you get some criticism. See, we have got been such a touchy-feely nation. Well, that may hurt somebody's feelings. Everything hurts people's feelings. Because understand it. It does. Now, I don't mean being mean. But you know, when they tell me worshiping my God hurts someone's feelings, let their feelings be hurt. I'm not keeping them from worshiping their gods. I'm not. I could care less other than I bind every spirit they release in it. But I don't care. But don't you stop me. Don't tell me I can't worship God. Don't you tell me I can't open my Bible. Don't you tell me I can only teach certain scripture things because the others are not politically correct. Don't you tell me that. You know, because I'm not listening. I'm listening to his voice, not anyone else's voice. And I just think it's time for the church actually to grow a backbone. And say, okay, you know, so not everyone's going to love us. But I'll be honest with you, there are people I have offended in my life that love me the most right now, because I offended them out of a place where they were heading towards hell, and my offense towards them woke them up, and it got them angry enough to actually begin to consider another way. So, I'm not going to apologize for offending people. Is that okay? This is okay too. This is amazing. This really is. You know, Paul had his thorn. Anyway, but the Bible talks about Joel 3:9, wake up the mighty men for war. Just wake them up for war. I believe if the church was awake, it'd be fighting. It would fight injustice of every type. It would fight for God's will to be done. It would fight for the dignity of man and the sovereignty of God being in a place. It would fight for truth to prevail. It would actually begin to push back darkness. See, I believe there's a pushback. I believe we need to rise and shine, for light has come. And once we begin to shine, the darkness will begin to retreat. Come on now. See, I believe the church has retreated. I think it's gone up into this little religious little thing where, honestly, we're trying to fit in instead of take over. We're trying to just be in another group. We're not just another group. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. No one comes to heaven but by him. Come on now. People say, do you think you have a monopoly? Absolutely. I absolutely have a monopoly, because I'm, be honest, in this case, I'm right. And if you don't believe me, you're wrong. Come on. And I hope you realize that, and people watching, I hope they realize that before they die. Because when they die, they're going to find out whether he was right. Come on. This makes sense. See, I don't understand that. There's a soldier mentality. You know, one of my favorite sayings, and now it's funny because I go to churches and I see it all the time, and now they have T-shirts, "Suck it up, buttercup." They have, you know, and so something I've always said to people, I have this lead pipe in my office. And when people come into my office, they always say, "Well, I don't feel led. I don't feel led to tithe." I said, "So you feel led to steal?" Okay. "I don't feel led. I don't feel led." So I got a lead pipe, and I said, "Okay, feel this. Now that you felt led, obey God." You know, if you need to feel led, here. See, the problem you don't feel led is you're not willing to get the lead out. Come on. And, you know, for people that are touchy-feely, I'll be honest, there are things that don't make me feel good but make me better. Exercise is one of them. Exercise don't make me feel good, but it actually makes me feel better. In the long run, if I will submit, my body actually gets back into shape. It's a weird thing. Come on. It's this weird thing, you know. If you eat the right types of food, all of a sudden your shape changes. That's a weird thing. It's so weird, you know. Come on. You know, and if you eat the wrong types of foods, your shape changes too. That's sowing and reaping. You know. But how many of you understand a soldier mentality is you show up whether you feel like it or not. You do things whether you feel like it or not. I remember watching, the Bible talks about endure hardness as a good soldier. I remember watching Jack LaLanne one time. He's like 85 years old. He was doing his push-ups and doing his workout routine. And they asked him, they said, "Do you like to exercise?" He said, "I hate it. Absolutely hate it. But," he said, "I do it every day because I like the results." And there are things in my life, be honest with you, sometimes it's grunt time. Come on. Yeah, I don't enjoy. When I played ball, I enjoyed the games. I didn't enjoy all the practices. I didn't enjoy running up and down, having a fat coach tell me, who was in shape at the time, that run faster, run faster. I felt, "You run, fatso." But anyway. But I could not have been in the play without him pushing me. I couldn't get where I was going. And to be honest with you, there are times you just have to gut it out. And I remember, you know, Sister Rambo, many of you have heard that story. I told her over time when I go there. And then she was a prayer warrior. And I remember when she would report for duty every 4:30 in the morning. I'd stay at her house. And I had to change my entire lifestyle when I stayed with her. Because whether we liked it or not, we were reporting for duty at 4:30 in the morning. And she would, we all pray in the Holy Ghost and shake the entire house. Because that's what she did. She was a warrior. You know? And I began to realize that we need to regain that in America. We have to regain that type of discipline. We have to regain that type of focus, that there are things more important than we are. And the older you get, the more you realize that. Because you realize now that you're looking maybe at the last chapters in your life instead of the beginning chapters of your life, you think, "I want to do something that matters. I want to leave a legacy. I want to actually pass a baton to the next generation. I still want to show people how it's done. Now I want to coach them how it's done." I don't know about you. There's a responsibility in the church. And God said, "I want to teach you how to fight, and I want you to teach you how to create fighters." Because you always reproduce after your own kind. It wasn't enough for my son to know how I operated in faith. I had to get him to operate in his own faith. And when I first started, he could lean on me. But when he got to a certain age, he had to learn how to operate on his own. And you know, I am so grateful now. He'll talk about a problem. And he said, "But God's word says." It comes out of his mouth freely still. This is what God's idea is on the thing. Or I prayed about, this is what God showed me. He learned how to fight. Come on. Not just to give in to circumstances, not just to give in to situations, not just to say, well, I guess that's it. Come on. I believe it's time we get the queer out of us. And put on our big boy pants. Come on. I remember, you know, one of the maturity things I've done in my life is I used to go through sometimes days of depression. Something would go wrong, and I would get, And now I'm down to about an hour occasionally. And I literally will tell my wife, I'm going to be depressed now. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to complain. I am going to whine. And don't you put on one of my CDs. Don't you tell me what I normally preach, because I don't care right now. I just don't care right now. Now, honey, you go out, buy whatever you want to, just go shopping, and I'm going to set this alarm for 1 hour. And for 1 hour, I am going to have my little fit of carnality, not so bad, but still a fit of feeling bad, sorry for myself, really, and complaining and whining. And as soon as that ding goes off, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and do what I know is right and get back into a better mood. But I just for an hour, I just want my hour. That's maturity. It used to be days. Now it's an hour. You know? And my wife comes back with the shopping, and now I'm in the worst. No, just kidding. He said, my moods cost me, by the way. Hallelujah. But see, how many of you know there's a special anointing in the presence of your enemy? God sets a table there. See, I believe there's a special anointing right now in this nation, because there's so much going on, and the enemy doesn't know God has set a table. He has set a table for his kids, and they're sitting and they're eating because they know what is about ready to transpire. Come on. They know it. See, Spirit of the Lord's on us to set captives free, to fight for freedom. That's why the Holy Ghost comes on you. The only reason you're still on earth is to preserve it. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. If you're not about preserving this nation, then you're part of the problem. And in fact, if it says if you lose your salt, you're good for nothing but to be tread upon by men. That's what the scripture says. I don't want to lose my influence. I don't want to lose my fire. I don't want to lose my zeal. I don't want to become so realistic that I don't have God's idealism. Come on now. I don't want to be stuck in what is when I know what should be. And I want to fight to see what should be come to pass. There's something in me that can't give up on it. And there's part times, you know, I think I paid my dues. I would rather not. But then I look at what's going on in this nation, and I have no choice. I have no choice. I have to be part of it. I have to be part of the answer to this thing. If it was going real well, I could back off gracefully. I am not backing off until we win. I am not backing off until I can pass the baton and know it's in good hands. I'm not doing it. Come on. Does this make sense? God takes no pleasure in those that pull back from a fight that he actually set up the fight. And it's a fixed fight. It's a fight you win if you show up. See, God will fight for you if you show up. It's, again, that professional wrestler at the end time, because you are a professional wrestler. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but you do wrestle against principalities and powers and wicked spirits. You wrestle against the spirit of this culture, whether you like it or not. There's a wrestling match going on. And if you're not wrestling, you're a slave. It's just the way it is. You know, I remember years ago, I said, Lord, if I was a professional wrestler, I'd call myself Road Warrior because I normally travel about 150,000 miles a year. Last year was a little different. But we still preached about two-thirds of what we normally do and traveled a lot. Not overseas at all because that was crazy over there. Not to California because it's like overseas. Enough said about that. I know what restaurant I'm going to eat at. Anyway. You think I'm kidding. No, I'm not. We're going to eat there. Joey's going to pay for it, though. It's real expensive. You know, I take him to Chick-fil-A. He takes me to whatever. You know, but how many of you understand? When I told God, if I was a professional wrestler, I'd be called Road Warrior. He said, you are a professional wrestler. I said, I am. I said, am I any good? Because I have to win. You know Woody has to win. That's rule number one. Woody has to win. He said, you're part of the tag team championship. He said, you're champion. I said, thank you. I said, who's my partner? He said, I am. I said, so I'm undefeated. He said, boy, you should be. I said, how can I lose if you're my partner? He said, sometimes you want to fight first. How many of you have ever gone, I'll handle this one. God, I don't need you here. God, this is a little one. I'll handle it. How many of you have taken on little things and made a big mess? Come on now. You say, hey, I can handle this one without you, God. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Come on. So I understood that one. That, you know, before he had a chance to wrestle, I kind of got pinned. We used to have a sign on the ceiling of our gym. I was a really good baseball player, really good. Played pro ball. And I was a really decent football player. Got scholarship offers to Division, Arizona State and a few other places. But I was a terrible wrestler. A great street fighter. Street fighting and wrestling are not the same. I found that out. They wanted me to fight by rules. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The whole concept of fight is not supposed to be fair. It's not supposed to be fair. You do what it takes to win. I don't know how many times I got disqualified. What do you mean you can't bite? Come on! I didn't understand that. But there is a sign on the ceiling of our gym. It said, if you're reading this, you're being pinned. And I read that sign so many times. It was really sad. So I understand when going first is not always the best. But then God said the time the church loses the most and you've lost the most is when you didn't show up, so I was disqualified. He said, I can't wrestle without you. I cannot fight unless the church shows up. I can't. I'm disqualified from fighting without a body. Come on. And so many times, even though God's will is for one thing, because the church doesn't show up, it can't be done because God can't do it because we didn't show up. Come on. Does this make sense? It's time we grow up, which means we show up. Come on. He'll do the heavy lifting. See, the enemy, it's really after your confidence. And many of the reasons we stop fighting is we no longer think we're going to win. And if you have enough doubt on whether you're going to win, why go into it? The Bible said don't throw away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. See, what I learned is when you're younger, you're cocky. It comes with youth. You don't have all these experiences. So you have all these big dreams. then all of a sudden life hits you. Come on. And it hits you with some things you weren't expecting, and all of a sudden, you know, you no longer are, you stop trusting you, but many times you stop trusting God too. Or you start devaluing who you are and questioning your ability to do anything, and yet you can do all things through Christ. See, the enemy's probably number one trick against the church is not pride. It is literally a false humility. Because a false humility will never acknowledge the good things in you. And without that, your faith can't be effectual. Now, there are some arrogant people, but they're very few compared to those in false humility. And yet, false humility is a part of pride. People don't realize that. When they honestly, when you belittle yourself, you're saying you know more than God does. That's pride. Come on. It's just okay. I'll step on a few more toes and we can leave. Well, I'll make sure I got all of them. That's what I've learned. You know, if you're going to dislocate one, you might as well dislocate them all so they all look normal. You know? See, the enemy doesn't want you to get a reward. He doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. So then the best thing he can do is shake your confidence, will keep you immobilized. You know? So many people are so afraid to fail that they won't succeed. They're just stuck. See, soldiers have an all-in mentality. What does that mean? You don't look back. You don't look back. I always tell people, my wife said, well, how come you don't remember much? I plan not to most of the time. Occasionally, we'll pull back past victories to build for a new fight. But I don't look behind me. My life is still in front of me. You know? I don't want to, you know, the Bible says if you look back, you're not even fit for the kingdom. I don't want to live back there. I don't even want to live in the good places back there. I want to remember how God pulled me through so he can do it again. But I don't want to look back and look back and look back and look back because my future's not back. My future's ahead of me. Come on now. There's no looking back in me. I don't know about you. When you're all in, you do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know, people say, what do? Well, you do whatever it takes. During harvest, I've been around a lot of farming communities. During harvest, they're going 24/7. You know, there are times they won't schedule me during harvest because only the women will show up, and only half of them because a lot of them are involved in harvesting too. Because honestly, that's when they make their profit. And they put all this work in for a few weeks period of time where everything has to be brought in, and if it's not, it rots in the field. So be honest with you, there's a season that we're coming to that's going to be a harvest time. And literally, I don't care if you get exhausted during that time. It'll be worth it. You know, I get around people and say, well, I'm tired. Who's not? How many of you have ever stayed home because you were on rest? And you realize you were just as tired staying home as if you would have showed up. And you were feeling kind of guilty because you knew you should have been somewhere else. But you were AWOL, come on. And you know, I'm just staying home. I don't, you know. And you know, it's always the service. God shows up in person. It's the story that everyone sees all these angels. It's the story where you missed it. You really missed it. And it doesn't look the same on camera as if you're there. You know, it's like... You know, I'm grateful. I am grateful for the internet, but it doesn't take the place of being there in person. It doesn't. In fact, some of you need to be in person so that you can be rubbed the wrong way, which is the right way. Because we're family, and guess what? Family has friction. Come on. Chances are, if you've never irritated me, I haven't known you well. How many of you understand what I'm saying with that? Because the best relationships are the one where it's real. And it's not, and what makes them so special is honestly, even though there's friction, you basically are working things out, and God's working things out of you. Come on now. And he's working, making everyone better because of relationships. You walk with wise people, you'll be wise. You walk with fools, you suffer harm. You show me someone's friends, I'll show them you their future. It's just the way it is. I'm not falling for that one again. Well, maybe I am. I got to have someone here to do the wire for me. Yes, he is. Not everyone can do it this way. Yeah. Oh, there's the other piece. Is that okay? Yeah, I'm really good at this. Anyway, see, the good news is God's already given you the victory. That's the good news. I don't know about you. Do you like winning? I like winning. I absolutely like, and I like helping people to win. One of the greatest things in my life is knowing I've played a part in somebody's destiny. I like it when God shows up and everything changes in somebody's life. About 3 days ago, a young man graduated from med school and is a doctor now. And he came up to me several years ago. He was still in high school, and I was ministering at his dad's church. And he had always planned on being a doctor. I mean, he always planned on actually being a teacher, not a doctor. And he said, when you prayed for me, the Spirit of God, power of God hit him, and he went down under the power. He said, I had a vision. And he said, in the vision, I saw myself in a white coat, a doctor's coat, carrying a doctor's bag and a stethoscope. And I guess it was his junior year in high school, and he thought, I never considered being a doctor. So he took some special classes, high classes in high school, in science, and found out he was in love with that. And he said, Woody, in that one moment, sitting in God's presence, everything changed. My whole destiny changed. And he said, the reason I wanted to be a teacher is I wanted to help kids. Now he's a pediatric doctor. So he's able to help kids and help them recover and fight for their health. And he said, everything changed. He said, sometimes we just need a moment in God's presence so God can show us what fight we're supposed to fight. Come on, where we know we're nowhere in our right lane. Come on now. Where you get marked by God's glory. Come on. He said, it's one thing for us to choose. It's another thing when God comes on us and the choice is kind of made. I've chosen you for this. Will you agree? Come on. So I believe God's chosen many of us for the fight in this nation right now. I believe that. I believe he's marking us with his glory. And some of us, it's not even like us to feel this way. But now we have to. There's no other option. And he always leads us in triumph. Always leads us. He always leads us, and he always leads us in triumph. God will never lead you into defeat. Come on. He always leads you in triumph and spreads the sweet aroma. He made you to be more than a conqueror. He made you to overcome. And what I've learned when people don't like challenges, I said, then you're not ever going to live up to what you're made for, because you were made to overcome. Overcoming has to do with a challenge. Come on. He doesn't want you just to submit. He doesn't want your life to dictate you. He wants the life in you to dictate your life, not the circumstances outside of you. Come on. God wants to redefine everything. There's a shift going. There's a shift, and many of us, God's shifting our the way we're operating, the way we're doing things. Many times He's shifting our positions, come on, repositioning us for this last day's move of God. We need to be aware that God is literally orchestrating so much. And when you look on the outside, you can be a little depressed, but if you saw what God saw, you'd be rejoicing and shouting. And said, this is a setup. The enemy thought he won. But he's about ready to get the biggest defeat he's ever seen. He's about ready to run into the real church. Come on, the real church. The church of the living God that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Cannot. We're unstoppable. He's about ready to come into a group that don't live by the revelation of man, but they live by the revelation from God, that flesh and blood did not reveal it to them, but their Father which is in heaven. And God's about ready to get the final laugh. Come on. See, I hear breakthrough in my spirit. The breaker's going before us. There's a breakthrough coming in this nation. There's a breakthrough of glory. There's a breakthrough about ready to come. The deliverers are going to ascend Mount Zion. Come on. We're going to see the glory begin. And this is the scripture God gave us for the campground that we just got hold of. He gave me the scripture in Isaiah 4:5. He said, I will literally be over Zion as a canopy, and my glory will live there as a canopy. That's 24/7. And it's so funny because I think they said, and they will ascend Mount Zion. Well, Mount Zion Road is on the way to where the campground is. You can't get there except for by Mount Zion Road. And we're calling the building Glory Tabernacle. So the glory is going to literally be over Mount Zion. Come on. God set it up. God set it up. See, what God orders, He paid for. So when He began to order it to us, He actually gave it to us. He paid for it. Now we have a lot of other things we're talking about paying for. Because we've got a lot of things we got to build out there. I don't know about you. How many of you are ready to see this thing take? How many of you are ready? I mean, how many of you are going to get your fight back? Come on. How many of things in your life you know have to change? And you know God has to do the heavy fighting in it. But you still have to show up. Come on. See, be honest with you, we can do everything we know, and without God showing up, it ain't going to work. But if we begin to do what we know, I know God's going to show up. I know that these signs are going to follow. I know that things are about ready to change. I know God can change this nation in a day. I also know that I will not miss this. But I don't know about you. I'm ready. I've been so ready for this. I mean, my wife said, you're just waiting for a good fight. I love good fights. It's a fight you win. I've never gone whooped up on say, that was a good fight. But when you win, it's a good fight. I'm ready. I'm ready to see people delivered, set free. I'm ready to see the church get its fight back. I'm ready to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm ready to see what people say couldn't be seen. Because we're about ready to do something that's never been done before. And God talked about this hour. He said, if I told you beforehand what I was about ready to do, you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. You're going to be astonished. You're going to look at it and say, whoa, never seen anything like that before. Why? Because it's never been done like this before. Well, all of a sudden, can God rebirth a nation in a day? Yes, He can. Can God begin to turn America around in one moment? Yes, He can. Can there be an outpouring of God's glory throughout the whole earth simultaneously? Yes, there can. See, I just believe that. I don't believe God is as limited as we made Him. Final state. Now I'm going to pray for you. See, many times God has really gotten my case. He said, you've been thinking so small. He said, you've been stuck in your little small thinking. And this is what He told me. He said, everything you face is finite, but I'm infinite. So no matter how big you think I am, I always get bigger. Come on now. I'm bigger no matter what. And he said, it's like when he flung out the universe, guess what? There's no end. There's no end. There's no end to the increase of his government. No end to the increase. So literally stars are constantly going. Galaxies are still being produced as he began to do it. It's like it just keeps going and going and going. And what you find about God is no matter how big you think he is, he'll do exceedingly abundantly beyond. Come on. That when you think you have a big sin, you don't understand how big his grace is. Because your sin is finite. His grace is infinite. When you have a sickness in his body, in your body, literally, that sickness in your body is no match for the infinite healing power of Jesus Christ. His healing power is infinite. Everything the devil throws at us is finite, but everything God does is infinite. He overwhelms everything. When the enemy comes in, he overwhelms it with the flood. Come on now, like a flood, God comes. God's about ready to overwhelm this nation. For the last move of God, I honestly believe, we're about ready to see a grand finale. And I don't know how long it will last, but I believe it will be the most amazing show of God's grace and his power and his goodness that the world has ever seen. That there's going to be things, all the saints in heaven were longing for this day. They're longing. They wanted to be there. The ones that walk with Jesus were a little frustrated. They said, why couldn't you let them walk in the flesh with you so that we could be there for this time? It said they all longed for the day. That's saying something. Come on. I believe God's about ready. He's about ready. He's not returning for a defeated, wiped out, ugly, scarred bride. He's come back for a bride that's victorious. Come on, without spot, without wrinkle, that's actually showed off its glory, the glory of the church, which is the glory of the Lord being reflected. He's going to show off the glory of his bride before he ever comes to take it. And the glory of the bride will light up the whole world. So as the earth has been increasing in darkness, the light is beginning to intensify. And we're going to rise and we're going to shine. And we're going to see. And as we shine, our sons and daughters and all these sinners are going to recognize light and run to it. He said, they'll come to you. They'll come to you. Everything you need to get the job done, all the provision will come to the light. He says, as you let your light shine, they'll come from every direction. They'll come from every direction. People will want to be involved. Come on now. It's just the way it is. You really don't need to raise money. You just got to raise Jesus. you raise Jesus up, everything you need will be drawn. Everything you need, you seek first the kingdom, everything else will be added. See, I just found that out, that honestly, as I basically take care of his business, he takes care of mine. I'm ready to fight. How many of you are ready to fight? How many of you are ready to get your fight back? And I'm not talking about being angry and mean to people. I literally want to love the hell out of them. Years ago, I wanted to beat the hell out of them. There's the difference. there's a difference. One was the anger. This is honestly angry at what the devil's done by tormenting people and deceiving them. I want to see the captives set free. I could say I want every head bowed and no one looking around, but half of you fall asleep, but then God will give you a dream and everything will be good. Can I take this off now? I don't know. I've been taking it off all service. I'm better at taking it off when I'm not trying to. How many of you tonight say, I want to get my fight back? I just say, God, I want to get the zeal of the Lord. Let it consume me. See, I honestly want my heart united with his heart in such a way it makes me fearless. It doesn't mean I don't feel afraid. It means the feelings don't dominate me. Because there are a lot of things I do where I honestly know I'm sticking my neck out. And I basically have to believe God's got my back and my front. That he circles around about me as a shield. Because I'm saying, God, I'm willing. Right now, I'm willing. At this place, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because we got to see this thing done. How many of you say, I'm in. How many of you say, I want a breakthrough in my life? I'm in. I want to pray for that warrior spirit. I want to pray for a warrior anointing. Come on now. Because I found out you're either a warrior or a worrier. That's what you are. If you're not willing to fight those thoughts, they dominate you. If you're not a warrior in every area of life, you actually get wherever you're not willing to fight, you're a slave to. Come on. It's just the way it is. And you know something? Just because you've been set free, you don't keep your freedom unless you walk in it. If you don't use your authority, you can get bound up again. And you can go from one degree of bondage, from this bondage of sin to the bondage of religion. And be honest with you, sin was probably less dangerous than religion was. Come on. Because you think you're okay. You think everyone else you get so self-righteous that you start looking at everybody else. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? You're looking for the little thing. And I found out something. When you're a warrior, you don't care. I mean, I want the wildest people out there. I want them. I want the wild. You know why? Because if they were wild for the devil, they'll be wild for God. I begin to say, man, that's leadership quality. Well, yeah, it is. They're robbing banks. They're doing all sorts. That's leadership. It's leadership. They're fearless. They're stupid, but fearless. Come on now. So now if I can get them on God's team, you have the best of both worlds. Come on. I just want to see you guys radically lit up. And I don't want you to be anything that you're not, but I want you to be everything that you are. And how many of you know, last thing, you only got me for one day this time, is some of you need to wrestle for your own identity. Because you're stuck as Jacob when you're called to be Israel. And there are times, I'm not that concerned about wrestling the devil, because I know it's a done deal. There are times in my life I have to wrestle with God until he can imprint in me. Because I know what his word says, but I know I'm not there. So sometimes I have to wrestle with him and say, God, I need a revelation. Because I know I'm living beneath the revelation that you have for me. And my head knows what it is. But my heart's not there yet. And I'm not letting you go until you change me. Because I can't change myself. And that's some of the greatest wrestling. And once you begin to wrestle with God that way, the devil honestly fears anyone that walks with a limp. Because it means they're no longer self-absorbed. They're not depending on the flesh anymore because they can't. They've wrestled with God. And when they lost, they won. Because their whole identity changed. So when they were self-absorbed, they couldn't rule as a prince. They could be a deceiver. But when they wrestled with God, their whole dependency is on him. And like Jacob, a lot of people have run away from their true identity. So the one area God touched in Jacob was so he never run again away from him. Come on. So if you want prayer tonight, I want to pray for you. If you want to get that fire back, that fight back, if you want to see this nation taken back, for some of you, it may be a personal battle. Guess what? We all have them. And don't let even some of your personal battles keep you from fighting for God. Because some of the things are a process, and guess what? I know there's things that God overlooks constantly. He'll deal with me, and I know. I said, God, we got to deal with. And he said, you know, he said, just keep showing up. Let your light shine. But I said, Lord, I'm flawed. He said, yeah, you are. That's why I cover you with my spirit. I don't want them to see you. I want them to see me. Yeah, there's some flaws. But that does not disqualify you. I always use flawed people. Come on. I always use people because you're not flawed in your spirit. You're flawed in your flesh or flawed in your soul. But when you begin to allow my spirit to activate your spirit, you begin to live from the inside out. In that supernatural, the treasure comes out instead of just the earthen vessel. And the world is enriched because you got a treasure to enrich it. Come on. So if you want prayer, come on up. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm feeling it now, man. This is my season. I don't know about you. I know this is our season. I mean, you know, I told Pam, I said, you know, in some ways, it's been the most interesting times of my life. But there have been times recently, you know, where we just watch God just take over stuff. And it's the most amazing thing for me to see. Because in times past, I could actually take a little credit. In these times, it's just a total God takeover. And I like that. I like it when no one can say, you know, it wasn't the preacher, it was the God. Come on. It was all God, because only God. I love seeing things that only God can do. And look and say, you know, only God. Lift your hands towards heaven. Start thanking Him, thanking Him, thanking Him, thanking Him. He's giving you your fight back. He's giving you your. He's giving you the freshness back. He's giving you the anointing. There it is. There's the glory of God all over you. Oh, bamadata. Watch out, girl. That's you. You wild thing, you. Come on now. Oh, some of us are like wild horses about ready to be released from the stall. Come on now. We're going to run and tread down the enemy. We're going to run and tread down the enemy. We're getting that fight back. We're getting the zeal back. It's consuming right now. Miracle land. We're coming into a season. I remember talking to Oral Roberts, and he was talking specifically, sharing with me about the healing meetings of the 40s. And he said, it was not unusual to see everyone healed at a service. He said he actually did meetings, he said, where he prayed for thousands of people in 100% manifestation. And he said it wasn't just him. Brother Hagin told me the same thing. He said it just was what God was doing, and when you entered into the spirit that was on the place, all of a sudden, miracles begin to pop out everywhere. And I believe we're about ready to come into that area. And there literally has been an attack of the enemy against our health because he knows about what is about ready to be released. So the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. He knows that a revelation of healing is going to flow in the church, and the healer is going to begin to show up big time, and the glory is going to begin to flow big time. And things are going to begin to happen doctors cannot explain. I recently, you know, a few years ago, 4 years ago, I did a meeting in Buffalo, New York. 4 stage 4 cancers people were healed in that meeting. Still healed today. Still no things of cancer today. In the same meeting, I walked into a place where the former pastor of that church, basically they had called all the family in because they basically said he'll go any moment. I walked in, he had been in a coma before for, I guess, about 3 months. I walked in with the guy, Dr. Samuel, that was hosting me there at the church. And the moment I walked in the room, I didn't even get a chance to pray for him. He sat up, and the thing came out of the coma, and he said, "Can I preach with you?" I looked at Sam, and I said, "He's healed." I said, "He sees the future, he's healed. He sees the future, he's healed." I knew the moment. I knew that moment that he not only had he not given up. Come on. Something took place. See, God's about ready to restore hope. And when he restores hope, faith is going to begin to explode. And people are going to begin to all of a sudden. Suddenly, our believer's going to go off. We know all this stuff. But now we're going to begin to get the revelation of it. Of who God is, what he wants to do, that the glory that you saw years ago, you're going to see the glory of the latter part of this house is greater than the glory of the former. That there's an explosion. You played a major part in the first one, you'll play a very little part in this one. Because it'll be all me, declares God. And you'll look and see, and you'll realize your prayers helped birth it. But I showed up. And everyone will know it's me. Sometimes God will wait until it's too late to show it's not. Come on. Some of you don't get that. He did it with Abraham. He waited till it was too late, so everyone knew it had to be him. He did with Elizabeth when John the Baptist was born. He waited until everyone thought it was too late. Then he did it. Kind of did it with my son. Because, you know, he's the son of my old age. And it was ridiculous. Everyone just really wrote it off, but God, he wrote it in. He's about ready to write in something that people have written off. He's about ready to put an anticipation in our spirit of something that's totally impossible. Totally impossible. See, we've been stuck believing for possibilities. And God says it's things that you know with just a little bit of help you can make happen. But I'm about ready to take you to a whole realm of what you know is totally impossible without me. And everyone's going to recognize, including you, it was me. Then suddenly. So I believe God wants to pass the baton after we reach a certain level. So I honestly believe that your dreams will be fulfilled, then the next dreaming generation is going to be even bigger. That's what I'm saying, you know. I remember Oral saying, he said, "My students' work will far outdo mine." That's why he built Oral Roberts University. I'm part of the answer to that. And at least cumulatively, we have. You know, we have. But, you know, people criticized him for building what he built, but what he built was a legacy. And God's about ready to do some things supernaturally, and the greatest reward will be the legacy. That's the greatest reward. That's greater than anything else. When I see my kids, when I see that young doctor graduating, and know I played a part, knowing that was really, you know, a place where, and you know, he said, that changed my life. He said, that night changed my life. I love being in life-changing nights because God's about ready. There's a fight on the inside of us. And sometimes we fight with us. And that was the fight God wants us to overcome, where we say, no, nothing can stop me, not even me. Come on now. And you've learned that in many areas. You're learning even deeper now. because there's a glory of God all over you. And there's just a new level of faith and a new level of trust that God's bringing into your life. And you know, you got to fight on the inside of you. Say, I've got a cause that's bigger than I am. And we're going to see that cause birth in Jesus' name. You didn't know you were a fighter, but the fighter's on the inside of you. You know, you don't have to be loud and mean to be a fighter, but you have to be compassionate because love never fails. And you'll fight because you love. And you'll actually face your own fears because you love. And that's what God does. He's put that love on the inside of you where you're going to fight and you're going to overcome. And this is a whole new season. I see God smile on you, so you might as well just smile back. This is a whole different time in Jesus' name. Because God's putting on the inside. How many of you know this is not a season to mess with the church? This is not a season to mess with the people. Many of us, we've been through enough, man. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood. We might as well get to the wealthy place. You know, I tell people, I have not invested this much to see it fail. Come on. And there's a new fight on the inside of you. There's a fight of faith. There's a fight of faith. You say, no, devil, you cannot win. You've lost already. This is a done deal. We're watching God turn everything for good. Everything. It literally looked like all hell broke loose. Now all heaven is answering. And that's when the glory of God, this is a new day, a new chapter. Everything's being rewritten. And all the pain of the last chapter, God said, I got an eraser. You will not forget the memories, but you'll forget the sting of it. And that sting will not stop you any longer in Jesus' name. I always love, that's how God heals the broken hearts. Yeah, I always hear people say, forget and forgive. No, you can't forget. You can't forget, but you can forgive. And you can put the results in God's hands. And watch him turn it for good. That's what it's all about. There are things that used to stop me because of the deep hurts. They don't hurt me anymore. They don't stop me from running. That doesn't mean I don't remember, because sometimes I need to remember to help other people. So the same comfort I received, I'm able to comfort others. But I love being on the other side of it. And I found out part of the healing process was even in the middle of helping others. Because you pray for one another, you get healed. You know, people know me, say, how did you get where you are? Only God. Only God. You got an only God testimony. This is a new day. It's a new day, a new level of faith, a new level of faith. You know that too. You know it. You know it. It's like, God, okay, God, I am so ready for this day. I have never been more ready for a move of God than I am now. I've been no more ready for an outpouring like I am now. God, I just want you to explode on the scene. And God, just put the fight back in you. Come on. You're not who you used to be. And be honest, you're not fully who you're going to be. Because all of a sudden, you're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And it's like you're beginning to ascend Mount Zion. Come on. Where all of a sudden, say, God, I'm going into the glory cloud. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm about ready to get my own commandments. Come on. Because many times in the cloud, God will give direction. With the clouds about ready to show up, and direction is going to come with it. I don't know about you. There are times in us where God begins to do it. He's put that fight back in you. You know that. He's put that in you so much now. It's just been such a stirring in you. You say, God, this is ridiculous. But there's a new stirring that this has to take place. This has to take place. There's a fresh fire burning in your bones. God's literally anointing you with a cause and a purpose. So it's a fresh fire. And God said, I'm going to show you things so you know how to pray and you know what to proclaim. You know what to bind and you know what to loose. I'm beginning to, you know, before you used to do things in the natural, but you're learning how to yield to my spirit. And you're going to let the cares weigh you down. You're just going to keep casting and casting. And casting, and you're going to begin to see this thing turn. This is a whole different season. See, the glory cloud's coming back in you guys' home like never before. This is a season of the glory. It's a season of the manifest presence of God. It's a season of downloads from heaven for an upgrade from on earth. It's a season of favor. It's a season where all of a sudden what used to be impossible becomes the norm. We just release that now in Jesus' name. God is shaking a lot of things up. And you know, he's shaking free the silver and he's shaking free the gold. He's shaking the heaven. He's shaking the earth. There's a transference of wealth in the shaking. There's a transference of power in the shaking. There's a lot of shaking going on. And literally, everything that can be shaken must be shaken for the glory to be revealed the way it needs to be. So don't think it's strange that even my judgment has become on my house. And there are people that call their house by my name. But it's been a long time since they've welcomed me into their house. And there will be a judgment on that, declares God. I will not allow Pharisees and Sadducees to hold back what I'm doing. Because I'm about ready to pour out a fresh outpouring of my spirit. And you will see, you will see, you will see. Just like you will see people fleeing places where there's wicked leadership. You're going to see states are becoming literally unpopulated because of leadership. You're going to see the church begin to shift and the population begin to shift. And people that are waking up and saying, no, I don't have to live this way anymore. And they're going to run to places where there is the manifest presence of my glory declared. God, they're going to run into my glory. They may not even know what it is, but they know it's different, and they need different right now. And they're going to begin to leave their religious bondage and come into my house and be filled with my glory, declares the Lord of hosts. I'm beginning to shake them free, and some of the wildest things you've ever seen are going to be used in the kingdom, declares God. I'm going to pluck them out of the fire and then set them on fire to set generations on fire. And don't you judge them because they're young. And don't you judge them because of their past. Because of my grace and my glory on their lives, I'm going to use the base things to confound the wise. I'm going to take the things that were not and make them into the things that are. I'm going to change the church into my image instead of an image that was made by man to reflect me. It's a new season. New season. It's a new breed. New wineskins. Everything's becoming new. Everything's becoming fresh. And I hear God saying, just get your expectancy out there. Expect new, expect new, expect me to do things in ways they haven't been done before that you've never experienced before. Expect new adventures with me because I want to take you on them. Expect me to show up and show off. Expect me to stretch you, but stretch you in the good way. Make room. Make room for the new. Make room for the new. I'm going to show you some old things that are just old. I'm going to show you some old things I'm going to renew. And I'll show you the difference. The old things I'm going to renew, you need to keep. The old things that just became old were good for its time. But it's time to let go of the clutter and watch what I do, declares the Lord of hosts. That's what I got.